Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday, the 1st of May at 6:31. We've done a third of the year. Happy May Day and International Workers Day. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking about consumer and very expensive cuts of meat. And we'll be looking at the windows and doors sector and all the markets as usual at the end of another week. And you can email us business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories and the markets with Kate English, the Chief Economist with Deloitte. Welcome back, Kate.
Good morning, Joe.
Can we start with rates? European Central Bank spoke yesterday, but didn't say very much.
So as we expected, ECB decided to hold interest rates yesterday. So too did the Bank of England. This week was a big week for central banks. We had five central banks, which make decisions for almost a billion people over the world for their mortgage rates,
and they
their
all
debt
held.
And savings rates, and they all held. With the ECB, again, what was more important here today was the language, particularly in the press conference. How were they viewing the path for inflation? And they had said that in the long term, inflation was still well anchored, but in the short term, that there was a significant upward risk to inflation. They said that even though it was a unanimous vote to hold, that they had held a lengthy debate around the possibility of a rate hike. And that's why post that meeting, we're beginning to see markets speculate, could we potentially see a rate increase from the ECB at their next meeting in June? They said by June they'd know a lot more, they'd have a lot more inflation data, and they'd also have their own internal revised economic and inflation forecasts. What they're looking for is to see how much does the energy price increases that we've all seen and felt begin to pass through to the wider economy, those indirect or secondary effects from an energy price
shock. So fertilizer prices pushing up costs for farmers and farmers pushing up costs for supermarkets.
Exactly. And even a step further of it beginning to feed into wage growth. Now, I don't think we are there just quite yet. There's still a long time to go before that meeting in June. But certainly the ECB were the ones that left the door most open for that price hike. Bank of England was also interesting. They're
talking about way more hikes.
Their inflation is quite higher to begin with. Mm. They are quite concerned about that outlook going forward, and they had a vote split of 8-1 to hold. Why that's interesting is we've basically had a split camp in the Bank of England for the past number of meetings with a consistent vote of 5-4. Mm. So the energy shock seems to have galvanised them or brought them all together in their expecting outlook. Mm. But there are really large concerns there as well for how that energy shock is going to impact overall inflation, but also wider consumer and business demand within the UK economy, which has struggled to see growth for the past number of years.
Now back here, new dwelling completions, they were up 33% in the first quarter of this year compared to the first quarter of last year.
Yes, so 7,856 residential units completed construction in the first quarter of this year. And even though that 33%...
Despite the awful weather.
Awful, very wet January, which does impact building on sites. But what I would say is, despite that eye-catching increase of the 33%, I wouldn't place too much weight on that. And why? Because if you cast your mind back to, although we had a very wet January this year, quarter one last year was also significantly impacted by weather events. We had a number of storms. You might remember we also had snow. Mm. And that resulted in a number of site closure days, much higher than what we typically would have seen. Nevertheless, this is a strong opening quarter. It's the highest opening quarter we've had recorded since the crash, essentially. It brings the 12-month rolling total of completions to over 38,190 units. Typically, the first quarter is always the weakest for completions. And we see a build on with the final quarter of the year being the strongest. So if we were to see that pattern continue this year, it would mean 2026 would indeed have higher completion figures than 2025.
But nowhere near the government's target of 55,000.
Nowhere near the government's targets of between 50 and 60,000. And I do think there's wider concern of when we move beyond 2026, what does that completion outlook look like? Mm. We had quite low commencement numbers last year of just over 16,000. That was off the back of a very strong 2024 with over 69,000. And we did see a bit of a recovery in that story in the opening quarter of this year with 8,400 units commence. But just to give a bit of context for listeners, in reality, if we need to build 50,000 homes a year, we need that quarterly commencement figure to be well over 12,500 units, not 8,400.
Almost double.
So progress, but still a long way to go in order to get to our demand or targets that are there.
Moving now to global trade, the controversial Mercosur trade deal between the European Union and the key South American countries comes into force today.
Yeah, so after 25 years of
provisional application,
it comes in provisionally today. So the landmark trade deal obviously is between the EU and the Mercosur countries, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay and Uruguay. And that was reached in December 2024. But we know there's been a lot of uncertainty and disagreement essentially at a European Parliament level since then. It comes in provisionally today, but we still have to wait to see an agreement come further from the European Parliament as we enter into the summer months. But what does it mean from the get-go? Very little. It is a slow ramp up of a changing of tariffs both at an EU side and at the Mercosur deal side. So, for example, we know that the deal allows for additional quotas of 99,000 tonnes of beef split between fresh and frozen at a reduced tariff rate of 7.5%. But that's to be phased in over 6 years. On the opposite side, if we were to look at it from how does it benefit the EU, well, we do see that things will move faster for spirits with tariffs mostly eliminated within 4 years.
Which could be good for Irish whiskies.
Absolutely. So provisionally, it's progress given it's 25 years in the making. Will you see an immediate impact from today? No, but it starts that process of tariffs, reducing of tariffs being phased in. Of course, reliant on agreement getting across the line.
And it is good for our service providers as well. Now, we don't make cars here, but it's also very good for car makers to be able to kind of sell without any tariffs in South America, in those key, especially Brazil, which is a potentially huge, huge economy. Argentina, less huge, of course. Now, we're really getting all over the topics and the geography of the planet today. We're talking about Belgium. We don't often talk about Belgium.
No, we don't.
but it is nationalising all its nuclear power.
So it's seeking to nationalise all its nuclear power. But this was announced by the Prime Minister yesterday. Why are we seeing this? So Belgium has 7 nuclear reactors. Due to rising costs, there was a risk that they were going to close, or certainly a number of them. With 5 of the reactors that were due to shut down in the coming while now being postponed because of this announcement. This comes, I suppose, at a critical time. Although we don't speak about Belgium very often, we do indeed speak about energy markets and the energy crisis that we're currently
and
in.
And weaning ourselves off fossil fuel and dependency.
Weaning ourselves off. Yet there's 4 main ways, when you think about it, of producing energy. We have renewables, nuclear, oil and gas. Mm. Oil and gas are now critically or severely impaired. We know that there's significant price increases there. So what other sources of energy can be introduced, or in this case, maintained, to try and ensure that a country has security in its energy production?
I think
production.
They call that base load, don't they? As in the absolute minimum is always reliably there, and that's why the French have such a huge nuclear industry.
Yes, and I've no doubt we'll continue to see conversations such as this, not always in nuclear, but around that security of energy at a national front, continue to take place given the energy shock. But in Ireland, we know we're particularly exposed to changes in the global market or in the European European market.
But we don't seem to be entertaining the idea of having another reactor. Not a reactor in this country. Kate, thank you so much for joining us and have a lovely long weekend. That's Kate thank English, you. Chief Economist with Deloitte.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.